This week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to our friend Patrick Rivers of 3 Days Under.
All right, well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I'm your host, Sanshoes, and as you can see, we have one of our favorite guests on here. We absolutely love this guy. Before I get to him, I'm joined by my sister in Christ, Miss Kira Star Truth Soto, whatever she was going by today. Kira, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
You see the guy that's joining us? I am doing fantastic because he is on.
You're making me blush already, bro. Come on.
Come on. Listen, every time we have you on, it is... I spend most of the time laughing, so... Anyways, as you can see, we are joined by Mr. Patrick Rivers of... I almost pulled Riker last time Patrick was on. He said... 3 doors down, and then he stopped himself. No, 3 days under.
You know how many times you've been introduced on stage as either a 3 days grace or a 3 doors down? Like, it's not the first time.
I'm telling you, if people watching right now haven't seen that episode, go back to the last episode Patrick was on and just watch Riker's face as he says it. And he's like, but anyways, exactly. Anyways, Patrick, brother, how's it going?
If I was any better, you'd have to take me out of bed and shoot me, man.
Never. Like old Yeller. Yes.
Well, I don't know the wife sometimes. She probably wants to take me out back and shoot me. But...
Listen, bro. My wife already was just like, you're 50. You're getting old. It may be time to put you down. Dude, I turned 50 in January.
No, you didn't, dude.
I did. I'm old man.
You didn't turn no... Dude, I swore you were like 35.
No, I'm for real. Hang on. Kira's telling me it's not live on Facebook. Oh, yeah, it is. I can see it's on there.
Yeah, I'll keep trying.
On level 50, bro. New high score.
That's right. Listen, I feel every day of 150.
Well, stop it. I feel every day of 13, and I'm going to keep riding that trick.
Oh wait, hang on. Maybe she is right. Hang on.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, we're about to fix this. It says starting soon. Hey, there we are.
It's got a 14-second lag.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why I kept closing it and opening it.
It's on there. I see it.
Kept shutting it off and shut it back on.
That's right. Do like the old like Nintendo thing where you gotta blow in the cartridge and you... Exactly.
I'm trying.
Listen, I can show you. It's working. I see it.
I trust you. I'm just letting you know from my end, like, I'm on Facebook. And it's not... I'll keep trying.
Alright, you keep trying. Because I see it. But anyways, Patrick! Yes. What's going on, brother?
Oh, nothing. You guys are the second... third interview in the new Nerdatorium because I remodeled the entire garage.
I was gonna say it looks a little different than last time.
Dude, this place is fantastic. The wife gave the okay because our oldest son moved back in with us, and so we needed to take one of the offices upstairs and turn it into a bedroom. And so I was like, this is my way downstairs. All right, full garage, my man cave. So. Yeah, love it down here.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah, it looks like you got some new stuff behind you too. Or is it just stuff that you put out?
No, it's just dude. In my old office, I didn't have room for anything. All of it was like stashed in a corner or piled up somewhere. So down here, once I got everything down here and set out, I was immediately out of room again. So now I got to expand a little further that way into the garage. So. But love, I mean, I doubled my size, but I keep ordering stuff. I should have never been given adult money. Ever. Grown men with adult money with limited responsibility No bueno.
Yep. No bueno. Yeah, my wife tells me that all the time. She's like, you are not allowed to have adult money. Because, like, I would literally have so many lightsabers hanging out of the wall.
See? So, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, look what I just got. And I brought this down specifically for you because I'm waiting to see how humidity works down here, especially during the summertime. That is Dracula, number one from 1972.
Yes.
Adult money in play right there. I should not have spent this adult money, but I'm another for the nerditory.
Yes. Yes, I love it.
So you probably read that when it's fresh off the shelf.
Love it. So what are you up to? Like,
dude, I'm writing, recording, and remodeling. The three R's. Well, writing's W, so I'm in
close enough.
Spelling doesn't go too well. But no, we're just preparing for the next. Preparing for the next one. And the one after that, preparing for shows. The guys are all coming in town next Thursday. We're all going to powwow here. Anger the neighbors. Get ready for our show next Saturday in Frankfurt. Yeah, probably be up super late recording more bangers. Like yes. Bird. And so, yeah. So, yeah, busy, busy, busy. I'm glad the season of... you know, we said we're not going to stay busy and we're not going to chase shows and we're not going to try to fill our plate. God had different plans. He's filling our plate left and right. So.
It's kind of cool. I was trying to do some research on you guys and I came across your train wreck. You guys have, is that like your series, Train Wreck?
Yeah, that's usually what we do when we get together. We have these things called train wrecks and we titled it Train Wrecks because they started out just to be conversation about what's going on with the band, what we've been into, but then they turn into train wrecks. They always squirrel off into a random direction that never needs to be gone down, but we wind up there. So, yeah. So we will definitely be doing a train wreck next Friday night, me and the boys down here. And so, yeah.
I look forward to it. It was kind of cool getting to know you guys a little bit and kind of who you are because I have never spoken to you before. And so I kind of noticed that you were the talker. Robin is very quiet, barely said anything.
Since we've started doing our, we do this thing on Thursday nights called the meet. And it's basically me, my pastor buddy, Kevin, and Robin. And we sit around and we discuss the stuff they don't talk about in church. And that goes live on the 3 days under page. But like the topics they steer away from, and you know, I mean, so you get a sugar-coated message on Sundays. We really like to hit those topics that they don't want to be talked about. And surprising enough, Robin has come so far out of his shell. He's a chatty Cathy now. The dude decides he all of a sudden, after we've not been out on the road doing shows at all, this dude all of a sudden he wants to come out of a shell and be Mr. Chatty, which I love about it. It's like watching your kid grow up. It's like, how good are you, guy? You spoke to people today. Put another notch in that belt of yours.
That's awesome. guys talked a lot about, so I watched the 3 months ago episode, and you guys talked about how you had taken some time off, and then you got back together, take some time off, got back together. And at the time, you guys were saying that you were going to release some new music, but not for a while, and that you weren't planning on doing tours. But now it sounds like you're doing tours, and then you just released a new song.
Well, we weren't going to release anything until later in this year. But then I got word from the label they're submitting music to the Dove Awards, and it has to be out the first quarter. And so we were kind of under the gun. And so we were like, okay, well, let's release this banger. So we dropped Burn. And so, and again, like, for as far as the shows go, we're not chasing. If people want us to come play, we'll come play. If it's financially responsible for us to do so, and God's making that possible again, because we spent so much of our time chasing festivals, chasing good gigs, chasing that kind of life, and we kind of got a little bit sidetracked, I guess you could say, about the mission, which kind of also led to the time off. There's a lot of personal stuff that in my end of things that really led to the time off. I had to step away and be a minister in my home. before I could be out on the road ministering to people. Because, I mean, we got a standing rule in the band. If you don't represent the Jesus you talk about when you're on stage, off the stage, then you don't ever have any business being on the stage. Because that just makes you a hypocrite. And honestly, I started feeling like a hypocrite. Because I would come home, I'd be withdrawn. I just want to be by myself after so much time on the road pouring into other people. I didn't leave anything in the tank for here. And so I pulled out completely. I was like, okay, if this rule is good for everybody else, it's good for the guy who founded the band. So I'd had to gracefully bow it out. And we didn't think we were going to do anything as far as music again. But here we are. Sorry, guys. You would be barking at you some more.
Well, you know, I mean, we're glad that you guys are barking at us some more. Like, I tell you this every single time you come on, you have no idea how much we appreciate you and we appreciate your music. One of these days, we got to get the rest of the band on. Like, hey, I've got to meet these guys.
The way I look at it, the links in the email that you sent, and every one of them have access to the email. So, I mean, there you go.
So what you're saying is we need to send them a box of spiders.
No, that's specifically for Ryder, dude. Don't be stealing that spider thunder.
All right.
No.
So tell us about Burn. I mean, where did this come from? And just tell us a little bit about the song. I listened to it for the first time yesterday.
12 minutes ago.
No, I listened to it at least 2 or 3 times yesterday.
Yeah, turned it off after the intro.
Yeah.
It was okay. well, when we decided to fire things back up again, Robin and I, we decided to take a trip up to the very tip-top peak of West Virginia in that little panhandle thing they got going, because that's where Jamie moved to. So we said, we're going to go up there. We're going to spend 72 hours locked down. We're just going to write. And so I think we got like 3 songs out of that session up there. But as soon as we walked in, Jamie was like, this is something I've been kind of messing with. He's like, I've had this worship tune in my head, and I kind of want to take at least kind of the chord structure from this worship tune and heavy things up. And I said, well, let's hear it. And then he hit us with that intro. I said, well, this is what we're working on first. And that thing just came together so smooth, dude. It did. Burn just came together. Everything but the chorus. And then, like, I think Robin and I, we got back into town, and it was I think we were home for like maybe 6 hours, and I'd sent a chorus idea to Jamie, and he said, well, how about this? And then this is where our chorus came from. Of course, I tweaked some of the lyrics, but the whoa, let's get this party started, that whole thing. Jamie was like, okay. In his mind, he's like, well, let's get this party started of getting people to heaven. I was like, this is a judgment song. No. Way too many people are running around this planet thinking they're going to be in a party with their buddies in hell, kicking it. All right. You think that's the way it's going? Let's get this party started. Let's really see. So that's how that baby came to fruition. It seems to be the streaming. I mean, I think we're a week tomorrow released, and we're pushing 1,000 streams. And that's pretty huge for a no-name, I mean, that's just on Spotify alone. Just for a bunch of no-name guys, it usually takes a good 2 or 3 months if you don't have a following, if you're not paying campaigns to play your music. It usually takes a good piece to get to your 1,000. So she seems to be doing good.
I mean, it's a fantastic song. So, you know, honestly, I think this may be one of your best.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So,
Got Your Dead. I mean, I think those are our top 2 favorites right now. But our writing style has changed so much. Even how I want to sing and articulate words, it's all changing. It's all evolving. And even what we got coming after this, I mean, toward the end of the year, I don't want to release another single. I want to put it on physical media. But, I mean, these couple that we got in the chamber right now, man, double shots.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you guys seem to have moved a little bit away from, I know you said like your styles have changed a little bit. Like you literally, you kind of delved into almost like the spooky horror side earlier on. Like, yeah. And now you're moved away from that. Was that like a conscious effort, or was it just like, you're like, you know what? It's time to evolve past that.
Dude, you act like we think about things. No, whatever comes out, you know, we don't have a plan. You're like, well, guys, maybe we should write a little more user-friendly song, something that isn't so, no, we don't think like that. We're like, man, we're really feeling this. And I mean, I've said before, and it's not trying to alienate listeners, or fans of the music. We don't write what we think people are going to like. We write music that we enjoy playing. And we have fun playing, and that we really feel like can deliver a good message if listened to. And so that's how we just write it. And you know what? We got to start working on our October surprise. Because every October, we give a did I lose everybody?
No, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just lost Sand Shoes there.
I think he just muted himself.
Oh, but every October, we give the listeners something. And whether it be if Facebook hadn't deleted all our videos, I remember like 4 or 5 years ago, because Jamie's a big cinematographer too. He shoots all our music videos and he edits them all. And we shot this whole like 10, 15 minute epic. And I think like Nathan was Frankenstein, Kyle was the Wolfman, I was Dracula. Jamie green screened himself out to where he was actually the Invisible Man. And Robin, but we went to all these different locations to do a Halloween-themed train wreck. And so we're going to start working on our October surprise. So maybe another spooky song come out. Who knows? Maybe we'll just cover Monster Mash and heavy it up. I don't know.
Yes!
Who knows?
Yes! That'd be awesome.
Well, it'd be something. I don't know about ghoul, but it'd definitely be something.
So I really like, I know this is an older song, but My King, do you guys plan on writing another song like that?
See, that's the thing. We never intend on doing like CCM songs is like what we call them. And I know that would be more leaning along the lines of a heavier CCM song. But those actually creep out every now and again. I know Ashes was like our first one. That was kind of like our softer worship rock type tune. And then, like, My King, I wrote, every bit of 10, 12 years ago. And we had actually recorded with another band that I was in at the time. And, but since it was never released, and that band has been dead and buried for years, I said, boys, what do you think of this one? And so we brought it to the forefront, put some 3-day stank on it, and said, Cinder, let's get it. So,
put some stank on it.
But that is literally one of my favorite songs ever, because it's an impactful song. It's a very meaningful song too, and yeah. I really wish it would have got more traction than what it did, or maybe it has. I don't know. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to where things chart or anything like that. But I just really hope that one. If none of our other music reaches anybody, if My King could do it, that'd be great, because that's just the complete gospel all in one song. So
yeah, well, it really touched me. It reached me right where I'm at currently in my life right now, and I just loved it, and I started sharing it out to my friends. And so,
well, thank you.
Yeah, I was a little older, but
no, it's cool. I think we released that one a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
probably our last release before the hiatus. But a lot of the songs that we write, especially lyrically, they're all spots that I'm either in currently, or I've made it through, or I see myself going into. So it's because we have also a standing rule against zero cheese in our lyrics. So they're all definite issues, and they're all definite struggles. And sometimes they're just fun. Sometimes they're like bring out your dead with just fun. Okay, we got to start bringing out, telling these people to bring out your dead to Jesus and watch people get resurrected again, man. And that's the point of this whole thing, man.
Yes.
So, So it's a, I don't know. I mean, like I said, they're all just seasons that I'm in, and then I was blessed enough to have these amazing musicians to work along with me. And every stupid idea I have, all right, guys, today we're going to dress up like squirrels and we're going to go run around like idiots. Jamie, he'll normally say, huh? And then we're off. But I usually don't get a lot of pushback for my stupid ideas, and here they are.
He gets pushback from his band, but yet there's me going, come on, Patrick, do it again, more, another squirrel suit.
Don't you worry. I actually got the squirrel suit hanging in my closet somewhere.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a squirrel, a turkey, a pirate, a owl, a big bad wolf. The white mask Deadpool. I got Batman up here. Dude, I'm
I mean, if you want to throw your squirrel costume on, my dog would love to chase you.
I don't want to be chased by a dog, man. I'm okay.
He's only 118 pounds. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. okay, you talked me into it. Let's get this on video. Make it
I think you'd like it. Yeah, make she would love it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would do that, though. So when we come, if and when we make it up that way, I'm bringing the squirrel costume.
And do it.
It's a bet. It's a bet. We're making this happen.
I'm in Dayton.
You're in Dayton?
Yes, I'm in Dayton.
Then you better be making your way to the Broken Bottle Music Festival this year. And
when is that?
August 21st, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of festivals around that time.
But it's right up there in Cincinnati, I think he's having it.
So. Yes, I'm going to try to make that. There's a lot going on my calendar. I'm involved into a few things, so.
Well, then we better be seeing you next weekend, March 21st, in Frankfort, Kentucky, for Resurrection Fest. Resurrection Fest, down the old Frankfort KY.
I'm going to try to make that if I don't have to work. My schedule is published only a week, like this Friday, I'll know next week, kind of thing.
Call in dead.
I've never called in sick in my life.
And then the very next day you say the resurrection power of Jesus. I'm ready for my shift. Just saying.
You're supposed to be
for dumber reasons, right? Right?
Listen, if you're looking for Patrick to be a good influence on you, you picked the wrong guy.
Watch, I'm a good dude, bro. Usually it's usually it's the people that say I'm a good dude aren't the good dudes, so I retract my previous statement. I'm a horrible human being.
Not a horrible human being, just not a good influence.
Tell my wife to keep my kids away.
Listen, I love you, bro. That's why I can be honest with you.
I understand. It's welcome. Sometimes the truth needs to be told so we can grow.
That's right. And listen, people have been telling me truth all my life, and I haven't grown a bit, so.
I still think you're lying to me about being 50.
Bro, totally 50.
I'm going to need that birth certificate.
Don't make me go get it. But I do want to ask you a question, because there's something I didn't realize. So a few months ago, Aaron sent us a song that I thought was new from you, Breathe. So, I'm looking at my iTunes, and I'm like, wait a minute. Breathe came out in 2016, and why does he look like Chris Cornell on there?
I still look like Chris. I don't sound like Chris. Man, would that be awesome. But, so what's the question? That was a statement.
So, the question is, what made you re-release it? Why, instead of coming up with something new, why re-release Breathe? Was it just something you're like, you know what, I just want to redo this, I want to add some funk to it, I want to put a little stank on it and put it out?
That
like
song, that song was released exactly how it was recorded in 2016.
And see, that's what I thought. I was trying to hear the differences in it, because I mean, you probably can't see it, but I have them both, and I'm just like, right. Okay.
Well, when I first released it, I didn't know anything about the ISRC tracking codes. I didn't know anything about releasing it to radio, because it was just me and I was basically a pup doing this. And so it came to our off season, and then I heard Breathe again, because I don't re-listen to our music. Like the last time I heard Burn was probably the last master copy. Jamie sent it to me before it was released, and I probably won't ever listen to it again until we play it. Yeah, but that's just how I just do our music. But then I heard Breathe Again, and I was like, you know what? This is the same struggle that I was facing, that I'm in now. In 2016, it's just got a different coat on it. And so this song speaking to me, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and re-release. I'm going to go ahead and release it on all the platforms for all the streaming. Do it proper this time, and see if it can help people the way it affects me. And so that there she blows. Just to give a little back, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, it's hit the top 15 on our top 15 lists a few times since it's been re-released. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I mean, people are obviously digging it. That was just something that I was wondering when I was looking. Well, I'm like,
we as 3 Days, we thought for years, how are we going to take this song and make it ours?
Yeah.
But it's in a major key, so, and we're mostly a minor key band, and so we just never really got around to retooling it. But I mean, I think if we'd have retooled it, it would have ruined the song, because I think it's good how it is, and whatever people take from it, outstanding. So,
are there any plans to release any more solo music?
No, that was a one-off.
One-off?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I work well with a team, and especially with guys who are extremely more knowledgeable when it comes to how music works. I don't want to say music theory, because once they come to me with music theory, let's throw that out the window and let's try this. It's just more fun to create with other people than it is by yourself. So if I write something, I'll take it to the guys. Hey, let's try to make this a 3 Day song. But no, I just have so much more fun working with others. And honestly, not against anybody who's out there doing this as a solo act. I just feel it's very egotistical for somebody to, or it would make me feel very egotistical if I was to go out and just to promote a Patrick Rivers song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like the idea of being behind a band name. That way there's not one specific member, because all the glory is supposed to go to God anyway, you know? And so that's why you don't hear us announce our band name before we take the stage. That's why you won't ever hear us on stage announce a member of the band, because it's not about us. And we like to keep it that way.
So what do you got, Kira? I know I've been talking a lot.
I really do admire your guys' love for Jesus and actually living it out. You were talking about how you were speaking out somewhere. You must have said something. You mentioned, basically, I just love how honest you are, by the way. But you were talking about how you had said something, and it was the right words but the wrong tone. And the Holy Spirit said, that's not your place. And I just love when people, there's not a lot of people I hear ever say that. I know for me personally, I do that a lot. Like, I'll want to say something, I'll go to type something, because I'll make videos all the time. But then Holy Spirit's like, I didn't tell you to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah, I've got such a zeal calling out fake and insufficient use of the gospel, I guess you could say. Because it is so, we live in a time period, especially right now, that if you keep giving half truths just to soothe your ego from your platform, you're going to hell and you're taking everybody with you. Is basically what you're doing. And so it's a blessing and a curse, because I've made many enemies with my inability to control my tongue. At the same time, I've opened a lot of hearts and eyes, thanks to the Holy Spirit through me, because I don't not say what I'm told to say. But on the back end of that, sometimes right words, wrong tone. And Robin, like toward the end of our last season, we were on our way back from the show, and he was like, dude, you're so pointed with what you're saying. And he's like, there's no compassion on the back end of that. And that really got me to thinking. And he's like, he's right. I mean, it's amazing that I'm throwing the hard truths down. Unashamed, unabashed. Here it is right in front of you. Take it or leave it. Swallow it whole for all I care. But there has to be compassion on the back end of that, whatever statement you're saying, because it can't be a complete verbal beatdown every time you run into somebody. So I'm kind of trying to hone that as into my craft. But I tell you what, man, when I get up there and the Holy Spirit hits, and he's already, it's usually weeks before, he's already, this is what I'm going to have you say. So you might as well start chewing on it and start digesting, because you're going to say it whether you want to or not. And usually I'll say it, but I'm going to try to figure out how to do it a little more kinder, gentler. Because when I'm up there and it hits, it's like, all right, gloves are off. I don't have time to spoon feed you this stuff. I have a 45 minute to an hour set, and we're always going to take 15 minutes of that set to pour the word into some people, good, bad, or indifferent. I have the microphone. There's nothing you can do to shut me up at this point unless the sound man pulls the plug. So you're going to listen to what I have to say, and I'm a pretty loud dude. So I don't care if you walk away. You're going to hear me on the way to the car. So I think I'm going to try to follow it up with a bit of compassion on the back end this time around.
I think that's absolutely great. It's a line. There's a line, right? Like when you try to be compassionate, but then maybe you're too compassionate and you need to give people the hard truth. So keep that up. That's awesome. And hopefully I'll get to see you do that live in person someday.
Well, hopefully it'll be March 21st in Franklin, Kentucky, Resurrection Fest 2.
Yes.
We will be headlining. We go on at 8:30. So
sweet.
Who's all playing Resurrection Fest 2?
Oh, see, now you can go ahead and put me on the spot, because I'm going to forget somebody. I'm going to show up with all my other label buddies, and they're going to be like, why didn't you mention me on the Rock for Him? Because I forgot you were playing, dude. Sorry. Sorry, I was on the spot. I think it's us. It's End of I. It's Weapons of God. Stars Will Fall. B-Wade. And I Against No One. I think I got them all.
Sounds right.
I think I did it. I did it.
I think you did.
I need that gold star. I expect it from you, Sand Shoes.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, I think you just sealed the fact that Kira's coming. You said End of I. So she will move heaven and earth in order to get there.
Yes. I love those guys.
We played with them at Circle Viewville a few years ago. I was highly impressed with them. Unfortunately, we had to leave before, because me and Robin went up to Lancaster last weekend. And I'm pretty sure I gave everybody the flu. That's why I sound the way I am now. So if you were up in Lancaster for the Resurrection Fest up there and you got sick, it's my fault. I'm not apologizing, because your body is learning to fight it. And it's making you stronger. So it's my gift to you. We've been freely given, so we must freely give. But so we left right before End of I went on, but I talked to everybody that was up there, and they just said they were killer. So I really, really enjoy me those dudes too.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, End of I, they are local. They live a few miles from us, well, from me, and I've seen them 10 or 15 times, like, fantastic guys.
They really honed their craft since we played with them a few years ago. Because we were talking after everybody's set, and just trading pointers and stuff like that. And I'm just, I'm so, so proud of those guys. So proud of their sound, just what they're doing out there. And they're just, like I said, really good guys. So.
Yeah, they're amazing. But proof that sharing your testimony is so huge, I met them at Undead last year, and they were opening. They were the first band, and they started playing, and then he started sharing his testimony, and I literally just was bawling my eyes out for like 2 hours straight. It was ridiculous. Holy Spirit really moved in that, and I was like, all right, I'm a fan forever. You got my attention.
Nice.
So saying those words, saying the truth, saying what you're going through is so impactful.
Dude, for sure.
I think that's why we are so, as 3 days under, we're so transparent, is because in this Christian world, people like to put on the front that there are no issues. Jesus found me. I got saved. I got baptized. The world's fantastic. I have no problems. That's the furthest thing from the truth. This isn't an easy walk. They said, well, your life's good because you got this job, or you're doing this thing, and you're a churchy, and you think you're better than everybody. No, that's why if something's going on, I'm going to put it out there, especially if it pertains to the band. I'll just get as raw and ugly as it needs to get, because people need to know life isn't all rainbows and sunshines, and sometimes it's going to suck. And if people this is really gonna hurt some feelings, but if people for 1 minute believe, well, as soon as I give my life to Jesus, things are gonna get easier. Sorry, pal, your life's gonna suck even worse. And there's times that you're just gonna think, why did I ever do this? I was better off living the other way, and blah 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 blah. And but that's when Jesus comes up beside you and be like, no, you weren't better off. You just thought you were. So we're just going to keep doing this walk. We're going to keep doing this one thing at a time. You don't need to be perfect. And that's really what got me out of the funk. I went down to the Ichthus Festival, and I was working as a stagehand this past summer, just because I wasn't doing anything for the kingdom. And so after talking to a few people out there, Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he's like, I know I asked you to step away from being in ministry right now. He said, but you're doing nothing for the kingdom. He's like, why don't you go ahead? And he's like, I see how you look at all these artists up there playing, and I know how much you miss it. It's like, how about you go ahead and pick up those bags that you think that you got to have everything figured out and everything squared away before I let you back out there? How about you pick up those bags, and we'll drop them on the journey? It's like, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be squared away. So how about we just get on the horse, start to ride, drop those bags along the way? I'll take care of it. I was like, all right, that's all you had to say, Jesus. Let's do this thing. And so, I couldn't be more thankful for the terrible seasons, especially the last year and a half of my life of just confronting all the ugly parts about Patrick. Looking in the mirror every single day going, I don't like that part of me. I'm going to have to work on that part. And that's what I'm going to work on, and however long it takes to get to the next one. And then I picked the next part, and then I picked the next part, and the next thing. And just watched God take all these pieces of me that I hated. And some pieces he would let me stare out until I was literally sick at my stomach. It's like, holy crap, that is really part of you, dude? That is really, dude, you were, what's that even doing there? But coming on the back of this, you get baptized, you're reborn. Excuse me. Lingering flu. But you get baptized, you're reborn. You know, you're saved, you get that first rebirth. You go a few years into your journey, you have another epiphany, another rebirth. And I pray that everybody goes through a season of obedience the way that I just went through. And not to hurt and not to suffer, but just for that reward in the obedience. Because God revealed so much. And I'm literally a completely different person than I was even 2 weeks ago. What this our Creator has been doing in my life and in my heart, and the way I think, the way I interact with people, the way I speak to my wife, the way I speak to my kids, the way I speak to my bandmates. I mean, it's been I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't want an explanation. I'm just happy that it happened. And so I'm just ready for the next leg, I guess.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I love hearing all that. I love seeing the growth in you. I mean, you know how you said you're just proud of seeing, like, end of I and where they've come from? That's how I feel about you, honestly. Seeing where you were. And honestly, before your hiatus, I'm going to be 100% real with you. I talked to Jeremy, like Jeremy Brown, and I was just like, bro, is Patrick okay? Because, like, I seen that pain in your face in a lot of your posts. Like, you were just worn out, burnt out, exhausted. And I was just like, is Patrick all right? And seeing you now, like, I see joy in your eyes. I see joy in your face. Like, you have a smile now when you're talking about 3 days under, that just to be real, you didn't have right before that hiatus. It was more of, I got to do this, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's part of feeling like a hypocrite. Is the way that I was living off stage. And I wasn't doing anything outlandish. I wasn't doing anything like super ridiculous or anything like that. But again, it's that feeling like a hypocrite and not carrying what you carry on stage. And, but I was so jaded from the church culture. And then the deeper you get into the Christian music industry, you start seeing behind that curtain and you're like, this isn't what it's supposed to be at all. And so, and then I start seeing things and I'm just anger and bitterness and just, you know, and then after 12 some odd years of just of no's and rejections and things like that, and just backstabbing from peers and just rumor mills. And it's like, dude, we're not, I thought we were all on the same team. I thought we were all fighting the same fight. What is this? And, you know, so, I mean, it's just, I let all that stuff really just blemish who God is in my mind. And well, if this is your teammate's God, then I don't think I want to play this game anymore. I don't think I want to be on the field. And so I'm going to go home and sit. And that'll be better for everybody. Because if I'm not carrying the weight that you've called me to carry, because dude, the one thing that I fear the most is the weight away from me. I never knew you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but didn't we do all these things for you? We cast out demons. We healed the sick. We preached the gospel all in your name, Jesus. Yeah, but away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Because you were out. It's awesome that you're out doing these things, but you never spent time at my feet. And over the last 2 months, this is what God's really said. He's like, it's terrible that the Christian church as a whole, they're busy with the doing. They're so busy with the doing, and they're not busy with the just being in my presence. And that's all I want. It's awesome that you're out there doing the job that I've called you to do, which is to spread the gospel to all creation, all over this planet. But you're so busy in the doing, you forgot me right here. And it's like, whoa. It's like, God, I was really busy doing all the busy stuff, trying to grow my ministry or write my next song. Or 3 days under the next whatever, instead of just kind of, hey, Jesus, what are we doing today? Nothing? All right, then. And for the record, I've taken that whole preach the gospel to all creation very literally. I've preached the gospel to my dog. I preached the gospel. Yeah. Dude, I was literally driving down the street a couple years ago, and I see this deer, and it's laying just maybe 100 yards off the side of the road. And it wasn't hit by a car, but it was kind of like laboring to breathe. So I stopped the truck. Excuse me again. And I got out and I walked over to the deer. And I'm sitting here and I could see the, whoa. I don't know where the fireworks came from, but it was the thumbs up. Yeah. All right. New power unlocked. I didn't know I had
seen last time it was lasers.
I don't know how to do the lasers. I forget the well. But anyway, so this deer's laboring to breathe. And so I get out and I walk over and I can see the deer, like the closer I get, it didn't get up and run, but I could see like it looked like it would have been crying. And I was like, oh man. So I started telling the deer about Jesus. And I'm like, it's okay. Jesus loves you just as much as he loves me. He created you. You know, I mean, you're here. We're good. So I go out, I think I went to the gym, and I'm driving back home, and I don't see the deer. I'm like, Jesus healed the deer. That's freaking awesome. Jesus healed the deer. It's gone. Yeah, but then I drove back by later, and I saw it just crawled into the creek and died. So Jesus, but the deer heard about Jesus before it crawled into the creek for its final baptism. But, I mean, that stuff, I mean, if the Bible says to do it, I really try to do it. Because if it's not outlandish to think, hey, who did he tell to go, what was it, Elijah? Told the dude, the king, to go bathe in the river 3 times and he'd be cured of his leprosy. And dude was mad. What do you mean? You're supposed to be this great prophet, this great healer. And you tell me to just go wash 3 times? Is that too much for you? So dude went and did it. And it's like, lo and behold, there it is, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. That's just my kind of my outlook nowadays.
I love it. And you know what? My pup, he hears the gospel all the time. As I'm reading through my devotional and I'm praying, he's sitting on my lap. And so he gets the gospel all the time. So my dog knows who Jesus is. Well, both of them do. He's the goodest of boys. So when you are up on stage, what is that one song that you're just like, I need to hit the crowd with this song. I need to play.
Bring out your dead every single time. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead. Yes.
Fun. It's such a fun song to play. It's so theatrical. It's so daggone over the top. I mean, a carnival barker. Step right up if you want to believe. I mean, you just get to, A, forget who you are for a second. But everything in that song has biblical connotation. I mean, it goes from the doubting Thomas, seeing is believing, just the raising of the dead. The very end of the song is like, drink of his blood and let his power restore. It sounds all creepy, but that's literally what you do at communion. It's the blood and the bread, I mean, everything in that song has such biblical connotation just through and through it. And it's again, it's fun to play. Fun to play.
Love it. So I'm assuming you will be playing it at Resurrection Fest.
We're going to play that song. We're like 90. But absolutely, we're going to be playing that song.
Yes.
I think we might open with that song. I don't know yet.
I need to try and get down there. My daughter's actually going to start attending college down in Kentucky in a year. So.
Well, you better come scout the area next week.
Listen, we were just down there last week, so.
Oh, too good to hold off for a few weeks.
That's right.
Let's see what we're doing here.
That's right. So it looks like we are at almost an hour. So, Kira, you got any more questions for Patrick?
I do have one more.
You
talked about a beef jerky challenge.
Oh, how did you find that?
Okay, if you didn't know, Kira is like our researcher. Like, she digs deep into bands. She pulls up stuff that sometimes bands are like, how did you find that?
But Facebook deleted all those videos, so how on earth did you get to watch the video?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good God.
That's why I'm asking. I need to know what this is.
What, the beef jerky challenge?
Mm-hmm.
So we got a buddy local here, and he claimed he made the hottest beef jerky that's ever been created this side of hell. And so we were giving him down the road because me and Jamie, we're spicy guys. We're just like, okay, yeah, whatever. That's not hot. And so one day Jamie's having a barbecue. So we're like, hey, Scott, bring over your jerky and we'll do a Rainey's Hot Beef Jerky Challenge right here on Facebook Live on our page. And so he comes over and he's got this baggie of like paste. And then he's just got some raw beef jerky. And he hits us with this excuse. Well, I couldn't dehydrate the sauce into the jerky because it was getting into my ventilation and causing my wife and daughter to choke and tear up. That was a setup. This was raw over 10 million Scoville units in this paste. And when the paste stuff cooks into the jerky, it burns off some of the heat, So we each took a teaspoon and dabbed it across the jerky. So I eat mine, and the last one to take a drink wins. I won, for the record. So, Jamie and Kyle and me, Nathan didn't partake, but Jamie, Kyle, and me, and so we're eating. Kyle takes his hit of milk, and then right after, Jamie took his, and then I immediately, I just had to hold out for the longest. But I'm good. Jamie and Kyle go into the kitchen, and they kill a half a pint of vanilla ice cream, a half a gallon of milk. And then Kyle immediately in his guest bathroom puking. I'm still good, so I'm in the pool. Jamie's finishing up on the dogs, and so I have a hot dog with some ketchup. And the first bite when that hot dog and that ketchup hits my stomach, I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. This is not good at all. I was like, Jamie, put me in your master bathroom. This is not going to be good. So I'm in there. I'm starting to sweat. I look in the mirror, and I'm gray. I mean, I'm like one of the grays that you see on TV that they talk about extraterrestrials. I look in my, and I'm like, And I've got, and this is going to be a little graphic, but I got like pants halfway around my like waist here. And I text Jamie, you need to come here. And so Jamie, he comes to the bathroom door. I open the door, pants half around my daggone waist. And he goes, my God, man, what's wrong with you? I was like, I need help. I need help. And so he's like, all right, pull your pants up and lay down on my bed. And so our pastor at the time was there, Andrew. He's like, you want me to get Andrew to come pray with you? I'm like, yeah. Andrew walks in. I'm laying on the bed, literally sweating from my fingertips. Andrew walks in with this hot dog. What's the matter with you? He's like, you want prayer? He's like, I've never seen anybody sweating from their fingertips before. And so he prays, walks away. I was like, Jamie, we got to go. You got to call. You got to take me to the doctor. He's like, I can't drive because I'm starting to feel it too. Next thing you know, ambulance rolls in. They load me and Jamie in the back. They're down. They gave me like some kind of, it wasn't morphine, but it was something close to just settle my stomach and settle everything going on inside me. And so by the time Jamie gets to the hospital, he feels fine. Like 20 minutes there, I'm like, okay, I think I'm good. Because we explained to everybody what had happened. They're like, yeah, you guys are stupid. So I get it. I'm thinking it's gonna be a rough aftermath, you know, going number two. That was the farthest thing from the truth, because I just like, Jamie, I got to pee before we leave. I literally let out a squall when I went to the public restroom in the hospital. I mean, it was awful, awful, awful. So there's your beef jerky challenge story. Don't forget you asked.
Well, I did ask. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. You guys are, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, stupid.
I tried warning you before the show, Kira.
We were set up. We were set up for that, though, so.
He was hearing colors and seeing sound.
Absolutely, I was. Absolutely. I've got a picture of, I snapped a picture of me and Jamie in the ambulance, and it's somewhere, maybe up in the old office. But just so he couldn't say, well, you're the only one who went to the hospital. He's all in the back. I'm like, yeah, I may be feeling terrible, but so are you, pal.
Oh, that is awesome. I have never heard that story before, so I'm glad you asked it, Kira.
I wish we still had the video.
So, what comes next? I know Burn literally just came out, but I want more. What comes next? You know me. I'm greedy. I want more.
We're going to release a physical media. We're going to take all our singles that we've released over the past couple years, yeah, plus some new ones, throw it on a CD. And then, I mean, just whatever God says is next. I mean, that's what's next. I mean, I have no plans. I have no aspirations. Whatever come may, or whatever, you know, however that saying goes. Because I'm not, again, I'm not chasing nothing.
Awesome. So is there like a time frame for that to come out? Because last time you were on, you said, well, we're in the planning stages. Are you any closer to it?
You come out when it gets here, bro. Stop rushing. Man.
Listen, I told you, I need more.
We plan on having it for the Broken Bottle Music Fest. That's our goal, is to have the physical CD by August, late August.
Mm.
That is the goal. But what are we in now? March? Oh yeah, we got time.
Love it. So, all right,
all the crew comes in next week, we'll ride out another three bangers, go play a killer show in Frankfurt, and yeah,
love it. Absolutely love it. All right, Patrick, you know what time it is. It's time for us to pray. How can we pray for you, brother?
Man, you can pray for this breathing, man. The flu sucked. I was down for a week. But it ain't leaving my lungs. I got a show next week. And so that is my one big ask right now. But my super big ask is for David Patacchione, Scott Shireman. That's what I mean, forget me. Pray for those two guys, because they're fighting bigger fights than a little bit of lung butter. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know what? As a matter of fact, I retract my prayer for me, and I just want prayer for those two guys.
What was the second guy? I got Patacchione. Who was the other one?
And then Scott Shireman.
Scott. Seiden?
Shireman.
Shireman.
Shire.
Like, Shireman. Oh,
it's the good Shire. Oh, top of the morning to you.
Shireman. Shire. All right. I got it. I got it. I'll have to mention something to you once we're done when it comes to Patacone. So don't let me forget. All right. Anything else? Because, you know, God can take all these prayers. So if you got anything else you want me to pray for.
Those are the two big ones. Those are the two important ones right now.
You got it. All right. So let's pray. Great and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Patrick. We thank you for 3 days under. Lord, I ask that you just continue to bless him. Lord, heal his body. Just help get rid of this flu and just help him to be at full strength when it comes to his show down in Frankfurt. Lord, I ask that you watch over our friend David Patacone. Lord, we don't know what the future holds for him. Only you do, but you are the great physician. You can heal his body no matter what way you heal it. I know what we want, but it's what your will is. So please, Lord, just give him peace, give him comfort. And Lord, just we thank you for all the time that we have with him and the time that you continue to give us with him. Lord, I ask you watch over Scott Shireman, just continue to bless him and heal him. And whatever it is that he's going through, Lord, just put a hedge of protection around him and strengthen him and comfort him. Lord, I thank you for all of this. I thank you for Rock for Him and for Jeremy and for Riker and Kira and Scott. Lord, I thank you for Patrick. But most of all, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Kira. It's your turn. You want to land this plane?
Yes. All right. Well, this has been really interesting with Patrick from 3 Days Under. And thank you guys for being with us tonight. And if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Coming up next week, we talk to our new friend John from the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Podcast. Make sure you tune in because it's a great conversation.